Chapter 9. Sitting on the toilet seat, I stared blankly at the bathroom door. My knees are pulled up to my chest and my arms wrapped tightly around them. This doesn't make me feel any safer. The door might be closed, but I know what's waiting for me on the other side. I'm counting every breath that I take as my heartbeat gradually slows to something nearing normality. If I focus on this, maybe it will stop me from falling apart. Everything's gone. I watch that tide of absolute blackness devouring everything in its path. The kitchen, the living room, the hallway, and the stairs. I reckon all that's left now is the bathroom I'm sitting in, and I don't know how much longer this will last. When she first started teaching me, Mrs. Bradbury asked what I liked best about science. I told her I liked science because it helped me to understand the universe, but nothing I've learned in science can help me make any sense of what's happening now. I remember the flecks of nothingness foaming on the edge of that impossible abyss, infinite, unknowable. Then I remember what Mrs. Bradbury said next. Science can't help you to understand everything, Maisie. Taking off her glasses, Mrs. Bradbury started to polish her lenses with the sleeve of her cardigan. There's so much we still don't know. Holding up her glasses to the light to check for smears, Mrs. Bradbury then placed them back on her face, peering through the lenses at the textbook open on the table between us. She pointed down at the contents page, running her finger along the list of topics covered in the book. I can teach you about the chemical elements formed and the structure of an atom. We'll cover electromagnetism, radioactivity, and the quantum of light. You'll learn why the Earth orbits the Sun, how the Sun orbits the Milky Way, and why the Milky Way will eventually collide with the distant galaxy of Andromeda, billions of light years from now. But everything that science has seen or ever observed, from the smallest subatomic particle to the most distant star, makes up less than 5% of the universe. The rest is completely unknown. I remember scratching my head as I tried to work this out. I stared through the patio doors at a darkening sky, faint pinpricks of white studding the blue as the stars slowly came out. That's impossible, I said. You told me there were billions of stars in the Milky Way, and the Milky Way is only one of trillions of galaxies that exist. How can all that add up to just 5% of the universe? Less than 5%, Mrs. Bradbury corrected me. You see, the visible universe, all the stars, planets, comets, everything on Earth, even us, is all made out of ordinary matter. But nearly a quarter of the universe seems to be made up of a mysterious substance that scientists can't even detect. We call this dark matter, but what it is, we just don't know. And the rest of the universe seems to consist of a mysterious force called dark energy, which might eventually tear our universe apart. Behind her glasses, wrinkles furrowed around my tutor's eyes as her features creased into an encouraging smile. Maybe you'll be the first person to discover what it really is, Maisie, and expand our knowledge of the universe, but don't be in so much of a hurry to understand everything that you miss out on the fun of being young. Beneath my pyjama bottoms, the toilet seat feels freezing cold. I'm 10 years old today, and this isn't any fun. Maybe the impossible darkness that's destroying my home is dark matter, or it could be dark energy, but what does it matter if I discover what it is, if there's nobody left in the universe to tell? In the living room just now, I managed to speak to Lily on the phone, only for a few seconds, but that was enough to prove that I'm not completely alone. There must be something out there apart from that infinite emptiness, and maybe Lily can help me to find a way out of this nightmare. I run over her words in my mind. I'm so sorry, I'm going to put things Lily's sentence was cut off mid-flow, but this must mean something. Why did she say she was sorry, and how could she possibly put things right? I glance around the bathroom. From my position perched on the top of the toilet, I can see the basin and the bathroom cabinet, the laundry basket in the corner and the towels folded over the towel rail, blue for Dad, green for Mum, purple for Lily and yellow for me. Above the bath, the white metal slats of the blinds are shut tight against the darkness outside. Nobody's bathroom has a clock in it, but ours does. Dad put it up after Lily kept on hogging the bathroom every morning when she was supposed to be getting ready for school. Mum, Dad and me will be queuing outside while Lily spent 2 hours in the shower. Dad says she's got no excuse now for not knowing how long she's been in there. I look at the time on the clock. The hour and minute hands stand at a perfect right angle, telling me it's 9 o'clock. That's not right. It was 9 o'clock when I woke up this morning. I remember the time flashing on my alarm clock, and so much has happened since then. This clock must have stopped. Maybe the batteries have run out. But looking more closely, I see the second hand trembling before ticking forward a single second. It must be running slow, then the last bit of battery juice stretching out the seconds into hours. I shiver. The bathroom suddenly feels cold. The shadows cast by the light overhead start to lengthen across the white tiled floor. Wait a second. How can that even be possible? When you're outside, shadows change shape due to the position of the sun. When the sun's high in the sky, your shadow is short. But when the sun's low in the sky, your shadow gets longer as you block out more of the sun's light. but the bathroom light overhead isn't moving, is it? I glance up and discover that things have taken a turn for the weird again. Tiny specks of dust are dancing in the light spilling down from the ceiling, twisting in shifting patterns. The dust particles are bombarded by invisible molecules of air. But seeing Einstein's theory of Brownian motion in action isn't what makes me gasp in surprise. It's the fact that the light beams are curving downwards. It's like when you pull the plug out of the bath and the water swirls around, taking your rubber duck on a crazy trip around the plug hole as the bath slowly empties. That's what's happening here, but instead of water, it's the light that seems to be swirling around, the beams curling as they loop on seemingly endless paths around the bathroom. My head hurts as I try to make sense of this impossibility. That's why the shadows are lengthening. The light isn't coming straight overhead, it's hitting things almost sideways, casting long shadows in every direction. The white tiles covering the floor are shrouded in darkness now, and I'm almost afraid to step on them in case this is something to do with the emptiness outside. But I've got to find out what's happening here. Climbing down off the toilet, I grab hold of the edge of the basin, clinging on to keep myself upright as the bathroom seems to spin like a fairground ride. I can see my reflection in the mirror, wide open eyes staring in fear as strange shadows fall across my face. A wave of nausea rises up inside me, and it's all I can do to stop myself from throwing up in the sink. Then I watch as my hair slowly lifts from my head, fanning out to create a blonde halo that frames the look of terror on my face. My mum and dad took me to the Museum of Science and Industry. They had this thing called a Van de Graaff generator. It's like a big silver globe that you could hold, and when you did, the static electricity it generated made your hair stand up on end. Lily couldn't stop laughing at me as my blonde shock of hair stuck up in every direction like the worst haircut ever. But I'm not laughing now. Reaching up, I try to brush my hair back down, but it just keeps springing up again. It feels like someone's tugging at the end of each strand, the sensation getting more painful with every second that passes. Then, I hear a rattling noise. Looking down, I see the chip mug standing on the corner of the basin, our colour-coded toothbrushes rattling around inside it. Then I watch astounded as my yellow toothbrush rises up into the air, closely followed by the others. Dad's blue toothbrush rotates as it rises, its spin sending a spray of minty fresh droplets onto my face. I rub my eyes, still clinging to the basin with one hand, as I lift my head to see the objects that are orbiting the room. Above the bath, the showerhead is rising like a snake charmed from its basket, showering me with spray again as it twists towards the ceiling. The towels are being dragged upwards too, their primary colours now changing shade as the light seems to stretch around them. Shower gel, shampoo bottles, toilet rolls, everything is spiralling in ever-decreasing circles towards the same point, a pinprick of dark in the centre of the light. At the supermarket when I was little, Mum always used to let me put the spare change in the money spinner. This is a charity collection box that was shaped like a giant lollipop. I used to lay each coin flat in exactly the right spot on the clear Perspex dome, then let go and watch as a 5p piece swirled round and round the curved track, its circles getting ever smaller with every orbit, before it finally fell through the central hole into the coin container. My insides twist as I feel this same falling sensation. I grab hold of the basin with both hands again, trying to resist with every ounce of strength that I've got left. That's what must be happening here. This isn't some invisible force pulling everything to the ceiling, but space itself being curved. That's why the Earth orbits the Sun. It's just falling in a curving path around the dent in space that's caused by the Sun. This is Einstein's theory of gravity. The bigger the object, the bigger the dent, and the more space is curved. And gravity doesn't just change the shape of space, but the pace of time as well. That's because Einstein worked out that space and time aren't separate things, but a single thing. Space-time. The clock on the wall isn't running slow. It's gravity that's causing time to dilate. I feel my feet lift from the floor. Looking up, I can see everything stretching around a central sphere of darkness, the light beams looping back in a sudden flare of brightness. I can barely hold on anymore. Only something supermassive could cause space-time to warp like this. There's something huge above my head. But there's only one room up there. Lily's bedroom. As my fingers start to slip, my mind races to make the connection. Einstein thought that if you could bend space-time enough, you could bring two separate locations together, like folding a piece of paper in half to join the top and the bottom. This creates a wormhole, a tunnel, and Einstein said if you could travel through this wormhole, you could take a shortcut across the universe, or maybe even a trip to another universe completely. The dark sphere hangs suspended, a frozen point in space and time as chaos swirls around it. I don't know if this is a way out of this nightmare or a one-way trip to oblivion. I remember that infinite blackness devouring everything in its path, and then I hear the echo of Lily's voice whispering in my ear. I'm so sorry. I can't wait for Lily to put things right. I've got to do this on my own. Feeling gravity's pull, I lift my head up high, and then I let go.